from Wall Street to the White House. This is the Larry Kudlow Show.
The best of the best, Tammy Wynette. Let's see, April 6, 1998, she passed away, so that was 26 years ago. I don't think Tammy Wynette ever met Fannie Willis, but Fannie Willis didn't heed her advice. Stand by your man. We're going to talk some money and politics. I just thought I'd get that in. With Liz Peek, Fox News contributor and financial columnist, and Steve Moore of Committee to Unleash Prosperity Hotline, and WABC radio host of More Money. Coming right after most of these same stations. Hello to both of you. Liz Peek, let me just have a second here. Is Saudi Arabia trying to sabotage Joe Biden? I kind of like this column. You're on something here, but I didn't. But anyway, go ahead. Sabotage, well, look, Joe Biden.
From his first day in office, Joe Biden went out of his way to insult and humiliate Mohammed bin Salman, the crown prince of Saudi Arabia. About a month later, Saudi Arabia, dominated by MBS and guided by them, instituted a production cut in OPEC that basically made oil prices jump. And ever since then, basically, Saudi Arabia has been leading OPEC to push prices higher. Do they need it for economic reasons? Yes, they do. But I would argue, Larry, that right now, MBS is also looking at Joe Biden's reelection campaign, and he knows very well that high oil prices lead to high gasoline prices, and that leads to lower approval ratings for Joe Biden. Right now, having oil prices zooming towards $100 a barrel, which you mentioned on your show yesterday, is incredibly detrimental to what the Fed is trying to do, detrimental to trying to bring down inflation, and by the way, also very injurious to Biden's reelection hopes. I don't think this is an accident.
Well, I suspect you're right. I mean, or there's enough in that to be right without knowing precisely in his head. But and of course, you have this whole crazy thing where Biden is betraying Israel. Everybody sees it. That helps Hamas. That helps Iran. And of course, Israel took out one of the Iranian terrorist commanders, the Quds commander. So people are waiting for an Iran retaliation of some kind or another. And oil prices are going up. Steve Moore, the thing is, gasoline prices go up to $4 or $4.50 in the next few months. Biden can't really keep selling out of the Strategic Petroleum Reserve because he's already sold the Strategic Petroleum Reserve. So what's he going to do? And he and he blew it. Yeah. He didn't buy it back at 65 to 70 when he said he would and he should have.
High gas prices are a big problem for any president running for reelection. I mean, it helped undo and oust Jimmy Carter back in 1980 when the price of gas went way up right before the election. And that's what we're seeing so far right now. I mean, if Liz is right that we're looking at $90 to $95 a barrel oil, that's $4.50 to $5 a gallon at the pump. So that's a high. And let's not forget that when Trump left office, Larry, the gas price was $2.49 a gallon. So we could be looking at $2 a gallon higher gas prices. And look, gas prices are just a barometer for how people feel, because everybody, unless they have a Tesla electric vehicle, but there aren't that many that do, pays gasoline prices. They go to the gas pump and they feel the pain in the pump. So this is a really terrible time for Joe Biden to be looking at high gas prices. And of course, if energy prices go up, then everything goes up in price.
That's right.
I've been saying this for 3 months on your show. I do not think we've slayed the inflation dragon. I think if anything, prices are rising again. Commodities, you've mentioned this many times on your show, are up. In fact, they just rose again yesterday. They're up about 15 to 16% just since the beginning of the year. And that's everything from, gold, silver, industrial products, and of course,
everything.
Oil and gas.
Mike Faulkner, formerly the Treasury Department, now he's at the AFPI. Mike Faulkner and I have talked about this for a year. Petroleum derivatives affect every nook and cranny in the economy. And yeah. I always carry a list around with me. I'm not going to read it on the air today, but the fact is hundreds of prices, from your eyeglasses to MRIs to detergents to food. I mean, the impact of all prices on this economy. That's why when Trump says drill, baby, drill as a part of his war against inflation, he's right. He's 100.
Well, Larry, you and Liz need to explain to me, because maybe I just can't get my mind around this. Why in the world the Fed is talking about lowering interest rates right now when we have inflation at 4 to 5%?
Well, they're really not.
They're hinting at it, and all your friends on Wall Street think it's coming. So
Well, those, they've been wrong.
I think this is a political issue a little bit. Jay Powell is an appointed. Has an appointed job. He wants to be reappointed. And my guess is also, having seen inflation go from 9% to 3%, 3.5%, you know, the logic is that the next move for interest rates is down. The problem Jay Powell has, and no one talks about this enough, is that we're still spending at an outrageous inflationary level. So it's Joe Biden versus Jay Powell. And who's going to win? I mean, you know, as we approach the election, are we going to have lower interest rates, which will make the market go up and make people feel better about their IRAs and stuff? That is a distinct possibility, whether or not it is justified by the inflation numbers.
Well, hint, hint, they're both going to lose.
Well, I hope so.
You're not going to see rates might go lower November 6th, but not before. And by the way, inflation and the economy is going the wrong way to cut rates.
Yeah, it is.
So there's no point in it.
Can I just add one more thing about this oil price story? OPEC Plus met. They had a ministerial meeting 3 days ago. There was lots of reasons for them to consider rescinding some of the production cuts that went into effect in December. They did not. And remember, in 2022, when gas prices went to $5, Biden went hustling over to beg Saudi Arabia for more oil. He got a fist bump out of it, and that was it. They said no. So there is a long-standing wound here that he caused, and he is having to suffer from right now. I'm not pro-Saudi Arabia, but imagine with this attack on Israel, Larry, the other group of nations that is really aggrieved by this are all the nations that signed on to the Abraham Accords or were about to. They are now twisting in the wind because of Joe Biden's fecklessness on Israel.
And it's getting worse.
I've got a crazy idea.
It's getting worse.
The fecklessness. Why not go to North Dakota and beg them to increase their oil output?
Well, the trouble is...
Why not go to Oklahoma and Texas?
You know, those guys will tell you they're being taxed and regulated to death. I mean, they're trying. I mean, production is 13 million... If production today is about where it was in late 2019, pre-pandemic. But that's,
and when the price was low, the price was much lower back then.
Well, that was 4 years ago. In 4 years, we have not lifted production. That's insanity.
It
utter
is.
Insanity. And that's the we should be at 14, 15 million barrels a day, in which case the price of oil globally would be much lower, in which case Iran and Russia would be much weaker. I mean, A leads to B, and B leads to C, and C leads to D, and the Bidens have just done the whole thing backwards. Meanwhile, let's see. We want to take a break. Let's take a break. When we come back, I want to talk about what Donald Trump should say to all the millionaires and billionaires he's speaking to tonight. The guys can raise $50 million, which is very, very important, and a turning point financially in his campaign. They've all come back home. So think about that. Folks, we're talking to Liz Peek, Fox News, and Steve Moore, Committee to Unleash Prosperity Hotline, but more importantly, WABC radio host of More Money. I'm Kudlow. We'll be right back.
Larry Kudlow.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hi, it's Lou Dobbs for Priority Gold, America's precious metals dealer. These are volatile times with high inflation, soaring debt, wars on multiple continents, and rising financial stress. Central banks are buying gold to diversify their reserves, so are many Americans. Call Priority Gold and find out how precious metals can help you diversify your portfolio. They're highly rated and happy to help. Call 1-866-303-6357 or get a free gold guide at PriorityGoldGuide.com. That's PriorityGoldGuide.com.
Hi, it's Ernie Anastas. You know, your thoughts can affect how you feel, and how you feel can impact your thoughts. Addressing your mind and body connection is the key to improving your overall wellness. Bergen Newbridge Medical Center is the largest hospital in New Jersey, providing comprehensive, equitable, compassionate, and high-quality emergency inpatient and outpatient medical care, plus mental health services and substance use disorder treatment. The Bergen Newbridge team can address your total health needs in one convenient location. Call 201-225-7130. For an appointment or newbridgehealth.org.
From Wall Street to the White House, this is the Larry Kudlow Show.
All right, Money in Politics, Stand By Your Man. First of all, it's a great song. Second of all, it's very important culturally because men are the most oppressed parts of society today. And I just thought, Tammy Wynette. I'm glad I got a giggle out of that one. Liz Peek, Fox News contributor, syndicated columnist. Steve Moore, Committee to Unleash Prosperity Hotline. And WABC radio host of More Money, coming up on many of these same stations. All right, I gave you time through a commercial break to think it through. Begin with you, Steve Moore. Mr. Trump is speaking to a very wealthy crowd, millionaires and billionaires, tonight down in Palm Beach. What should his message be?
He should say, I'm going to drill, baby, drill. I'm going to cut taxes for everyone so that America is more competitive. He should say that we're going to take a sledgehammer and a chainsaw to this federal budget to bring down the deficit. He should be talking about getting control of the border. All of these things benefit all of America. And mostly he should say, look, I'm the middle class president. I'm going to pursue policies that are going to help the average American, and that's going to help business. That's going to help everyone. So, I mean, I'm just struck by the fact that Trump is really honing in the last few months on those blue collar, forgotten Americans that Joe Biden has abandoned.
Mm-hmm. I like everything you said. I assume you put tax cuts in there, and maybe that one got away from me. But
well, and make the Trump tax cuts permanent for sure, because they work. And incidentally, Biden wants to raise our corporate tax rate. You mentioned this the other day on your show, to a higher tax rate than Russia and China. It's insane.
No, we had Scott Hodge on last night on the show, and we had him on this morning. It's about a $4.5 trillion tax hike, and it goes after. And here's the theme, and Liz, I think Trump, with this group, but also in general, and something that Trump said in his first term, don't punish success. We should reward success, not punish it.
I couldn't agree more. And I think that message really resonates because clearly everything that comes out of Joe Biden's mouth is directed at successful people. It's negative on success in this country. And that really should alarm everybody. You know, the attack on success, on meritocracy, on people wanting to get ahead, it's offensive. And I mean, the thing I would say to that group of funders in Palm Beach tonight is welcome back, because a lot of them
welcome back, Cotter.
Basically, a lot of them were like, oh, you know, I just don't know. It's been disruptive for years. I think I'll go back Nikki Haley or I'll back Ron DeSantis, whatever. Here's the thing. I've quoted Hillary Clinton twice on this, but she's right. Get over yourself. This is the choice coming in November.
Right.
Trump or Biden? Do we think the country is better off under Biden? No. I mean, honestly, Larry, when you it's like whack-a-mole. Every time you find something horrendous they've done, for example, this thing recently of protecting federal employees. What the heck is that? We can't eliminate excess overhead in the federal workforce because they vote Democrat. I mean, it's beyond. And Claudia Tenia raised something on your program that I've been looking at this morning, this executive order that went out in March 2021, basically weaponizing every federal agency to increase voter turnout among supposedly disadvantaged groups. Not one agency, not one organized organization that promotes that has yet to come up with a single example of where people are not being allowed to vote. It is so ridiculous. It is simply using the federal government to promote Democrat interest groups. And, you know, this has got to stop. I mean, it's just awful.
Steve Moore, doesn't that violate the Hatch Act, all that stuff?
Yeah, good question.
Whatever happened to the Hatch Act?
There is no more of a backbone for the Democratic Party than federal agencies. I thought it was comical when, you may recall, you were at the National Economic Council when Trump came up with a proposal to move towards depoliticizing the federal bureaucracy and saying, look, we're going to pay people for performance.
Yeah.
You know, what an idea.
Yeah.
And we're going to get rid of bad performers. And my God, the outrage by the left, they kept saying, oh, my God, Donald Trump is trying to politicize the federal civil service system. There is nothing in America. I've lived in Washington for 35 years. There is no group of Americans that are more political than our federal employees. But I want to go back to this issue that you asked the question about millionaires and billionaires. I want to make sure that your listeners know that the candidate for the millionaires and billionaires is clearly Joe Biden. Joe Biden, for every person that's going to be at that party tonight, that fundraiser, you know, Joe Biden has 10 of them, all the Silicon Valley people, a lot of the Wall Street people, the people in Hollywood, they are all solidly in Joe Biden's camp. So this is only a handful of the millionaires and billionaires. I bet for every millionaire and billionaire supporting Donald Trump, there's probably 10 supporting Joe Biden.
But I really think looking at this, try to look at it from 30,000 feet, messaging, going back to something that Trump said years ago, reward success, don't punish it. And I guess, Liz, the other side to that, since he's developing this very strong working class coalition, cutting into the Democrats' traditional coalition, you know, the flip side of that is creating opportunity for everybody.
Yes. Yeah.
Opportunity-oriented society. I mean, that's an old Reagan Kemp message.
Newt Gingrich, opportunity society.
That's right. That's right.
And Larry, what's the enemy of opportunity? It's equity. People really underplay the insidious negativism of DEI. The worst part of that, without a doubt, because diversity, that's fine. Inclusion is fine. Equity is heinous. It is an attack on meritocracy. It's an attack on basically what has made America stand out, which is that anybody in this country, and we all know examples of this, can become prosperous and successful without the government intervening to make it happen. And that, I think, you know, when you get too far from that, you don't have a prosperous country anymore.
Yeah, I agree with that. Steve Moore, what you got cooking on your radio show?
Well, actually, I'm going to bring up this topic that Liz was just talking about, that the top perform— this is so perfect for what you were just saying, Liz. The top performing high school in Seattle, in terms of academics, they're going to shut it down because it has too many Asians.
Oh, that's so sad.
It's disgusting. So sad. So instead of shutting down the schools that don't work, they're going to shut down the one school. And you know why? Because of the word you just said, Liz, equity. It's not equitable that some people haven't got a great education. So they're going to shut down the bad school and keep the good school, and they're going to keep the bad schools open. I mean, this is outrageous, and it's happening throughout the country.
Didn't Harvard get in trouble? What, they discriminated against Asians?
Yeah, exactly.
Seriously.
Because on simply the numbers and accomplishment, academic prowess, Asians would be way, way overrepresented in any incoming class in any school in America.
We have a war on achievement in America.
Yeah. I mean, by the way, Larry, that is something that I know some of these billionaires, so do you. Mm. They really care about education.
Yeah.
And I think the fact that Republicans own this issue and Donald Trump can really push school choice mm-hmm. and making education better. People believe in that. They may not vote it. That may not be their prime issue, but it is a very strong and compelling message.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I was just thinking, you were talking about Seattle and the Asians, and then I reminded Harvard. It's a tiny bit of good news is that some of these Ivy League schools are going back to SATs.
Yeah, right.
Right.
Exactly.
I mean, not that SATs are the end-all and be-all, but at least it's a merit-oriented system.
Yeah.
Instead of the strict affirmative action DEI that they've been practicing. I mean, really, I haven't seen any change in the governance of Harvard. I mean, I haven't read it or Penn, and which is what it has to change. The corporations have to change in order to change the school. I haven't seen any of that stuff. They haven't picked a new president yet. I mean, you're opening up a can of worms here, but I'm thinking about it. What's changed? Has anything changed?
Not much.
It's not much worse.
Until the money dries up, which in the case of Harvard that has a $52 billion endowment, it's going to take a long time to have any kind of monetary pressure on this school. It's going to have to be a shaming thing where alums basically say, no, you know, I don't want to participate in a system that is essentially, anti-American, all the values that that we want our kids to come out with. And that's what it is.
I tell you, we'll close it. Stand by your man. Somebody's got to help us. We just need a lot of help, men in this society. Go to work, earn a living, have responsibility. We'll close it out with Tammy Wynette. Thank you, kids. Liz Peek and Steve Moore. And stand up for your man.
After all, he's just a man.